I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go with hour number two. Welcome back into it, Gwen and Chris. 97.3 The Fan. Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle today. Matt Scraby alongside in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Padres swept by the Mariners, unceremoniously, I might add. And it wasn't like they got swept by Randy Johnson, Mark Langston, and...
We're naming old Mariners, huh?
Yeah. Gaylord Perry, 300-game winner.
Yes, I'm aware.
We were swept by, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even recognize the kid on Friday night. Logan Evans, was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember those split righty stats? Didn't make a difference.
Didn't work out. Who pitched Saturday? I didn't remember that guy either.
Was it Wu?
No, Wu was yesterday. At least I've heard of him. The Mariners have major problems. Like, their top four starters are all injured right now.
They didn't see Logan Gilmore or Bryce Miller.
Well, they're both hurt.
I know.
Right? They didn't look like they needed them. Anyway, it was a bad weekend. But try to keep it in a little perspective. Tigers, Mets, Dodgers, Phillies, Padres, in that order, still have the five best records in baseball. They're the only five that have a 600 winning percentage or better. That's it. Those five. So, you know, we're not happy, but could be worse. A lot worse, Scrape. Going to Toronto tomorrow, the Jays are 22-24. It's all right. See Chris Bassett, a right-hander, tomorrow for Toronto. Left field is a problem. But so is Manny not hitting home runs. I don't think they're equal. I think they're completely separate from each other, but both need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we discovered, I think, in the first hour of the program. We'll get back to more of the Padres, and I'll also let you in on what is happening in New York right now with the top diva in baseball. But first, it is a time for a Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody.
Sounds like me opening the show with kicking her off.
Yeah. Gamble responsibly. I'm seeing on the chat, and then I'm going to move on. Jake Cronenworth needs to go to left field. Looked it up. Never played outfield his entire career. You're not just going to put a guy in left field just because.
And then what? Who plays second base? Iglesias?
Yeah.
What's he done? And as a matter of fact, they've already put Iglesias in left field, and he looked okay out there. So if that's the answer, then just put Iglesias in left field.
I forgot about that.
Why weaken two positions? Yeah.
I wish I didn't make that comment about left field on Friday, because it all unraveled on me over the weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Daily Gambit. What bets we made... on Friday. Padres Mariners over under 9 runs. We both went under, which was the correct choice because it was 5-1 Mariners, so 6 total. Dodgers -1.5 on the run line over the Angels. We both chose the Dodgers. The Angels won 6-2.
How about a sweep by the Halos?
Yeah, they're playing good baseball right now.
Well, they're not, but the Dodgers are beatable. That's the thing that's interesting to me. And you can look at it as a lost opportunity because we should be in first place right now. Or you can tell yourself, hey, the Dodgers are hurting. They have no pitching. We talked about how bad the bottom of the Padre order is. The Dodgers, by the way, DFA'd Chris Taylor yesterday. He's gone. Austin Barnes is long gone. Michael Conforto still can't hit his way out of a paper bag. They're counting on a youngster right now, Dalton Rushing, who's a catcher who they're trying to put out in the outfield. So, hey, look, we're not the only team with these issues at the moment.
That's true.
And a team like the Dodgers, who nobody thought would ever have an issue, actually has just as many as we have. We're just not paying much attention or as much attention to them.
No, we're all locked in our issues.
Yes.
All right, Yankees minus 1.5 against the Mets on Friday night. You chose Mets, I chose Yankees, and the Yankees won 6-2.
Okay.
Who had more strikeouts, Chris Sale or Garrett Crochet? We both went Crochet, and they both had 8 strikeouts, so we pushed there.
Push.
Knicks minus 2.5. You got the Knicks. We both chose the Knicks, and then Knicks. What? Where was Joe Mazzulla's wisdom in this game? Because the Knicks beat them 119-81. That is embarrassing.
I would say it's pretty embarrassing in your last game as a defending NBA champion.
When all you do is preach about how great you are, you can't even put up 85 points?
Well, you lost by 38 points to save your season. 38 points. Now, I know Jason Tatum didn't play, so there is a fair excuse, but there's no excuse for losing 38 when you're trying to defend your championship. Agreed.
All right.
But I enjoyed it.
And me too.
Yeah.
Of course.
It was fun to watch that.
Who scored more, Derek White or Carl Anthony Towns? You went Cat. I went Derek White.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Derek White had 8. Cat had 21. So you
Derek
win that
did not
one.
Have a go on that.
The
night.
Florida Panthers minus 1.5 on the puck line against Toronto. We both chose the Panthers. And the Maple Leafs won 2-0. So we were wrong on that one. Paige Beckers in her debut for the WNBA. Over under 14.5 points. Both of us went under. Both of us were correct. She had 10 points.
Yeah, 10. She'll go again tonight.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. For the week, you won. You were 19-17. I was 17-19.
Okay.
So between the two of us, we were
500.
500. Which is losing in the gambling world because, remember, you have to bet more than you win.
Yep, that's
so
true.
So we would have lost.
That's true.
All right, here we go for tonight. WNBA. I mean, we got no NBA, no NHL tonight. Both playoffs are taking a night off, so There's no action there. We got Seattle Storm, minus 3.5 at Dallas. Dallas, of course, is where Paige Beckers is. Both of these teams lost their opening game. Seattle's favored by 3.5 on the road. Dallas, with a bunch of young players, still going to be finding its way. I'll take Seattle.
Okay.
On the road? How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle.
Seattle. Speaking of Paige Beckers, 10 points, as you mentioned, in her first appearance. She shot, I think, 3-for-10 field.
Yeah.
Kind of a mediocre debut, but she's got her debut out of the way. Tonight, it's 13.5 points over under, Scraby, for Beckers. She get the 14 tonight?
I'll go over.
I'm going over as well. Hopefully, she'll relax, settle in. I want to get into the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing a bit later.
We got a spot at 420.
Yeah, if you watch the any WNBA, unfortunately, those two and their little feud that they refuse to acknowledge is bigger than the sport.
I can't wait to talk to you about it because I have no idea what Caitlin Clark did wrong.
Okay, we'll talk about it. San Francisco Giants, Kansas City Royals tonight. 7.5 runs by the Bay. Robbie Ray, Chris Bubich.
Bubich,
thank you. What'd I say? Bubich? Yeah, I miss it badly. I'm going to say under. These are two good pitchers, two good lefties. Giants, by the way, are living right. Wilmer Flores, Friday night.
Oh, man.
3 home runs, 8 RBIs. The next night, no score, bottom of the 11th. Wilmer Flores walks with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, they got 2 in the 8th to pull that game out.
Yeah.
Giants are, you know, they're having one of those kind of years, and they're tied with the Padres now in terms of both are a game back of the Dodgers. So Giants have
over.
It going. You're going over. Your system runs will be scored tonight there.
Think so.
Here's our nightly gimme. Philadelphia Phillies at Colorado. How far can Kyle Schwarber hit one there?
Oof.
Phillies are favored by 1.5. I will not bet on the Rockies once all season. There's no need to.
I'll go with the Phillies too.
Rockies are 8-38. Although, talk about a blind squirrel. They scored 14 runs on Saturday night and beat the Dodgers. Then they went right back and got shut out again yesterday. It's crazy. Which game will score more runs? Angels at A's or D-backs at Dodgers? Which game scores more runs? Scrabby. Angels at
Dodgers
A's?
Have been putting up a ton of runs, but they've also been giving up. I'm going to go D-backs and Dodgers.
More runs. Brandon Fott is pitching for Arizona. Landon Kanak for the Dodgers. I'm going to say the Arizona LA two. Dodgers can't pitch at all right now. Kodai Senga having a great year.
Yep.
5.5 Ks at Boston. He's pitching in Boston.
From Boston.
Or from Boston. Yeah, that's a really annoying commercial.
My cousin from Boston.
Yeah, it's not the most annoying commercial we have, but it's in the running. And don't get me started with which one is. Everybody knows. Yeah, I know. I know. Kodai Senga, 5.5 Ks tonight at Boston. What is Senga? He's having a great year.
He's having an amazing year.
It doesn't seem like every time I look up, he's...
I'm going to go over.
Blowing him away. He's got a... What?
Yeah, he's been incredible this
year. He's got a 1.02 ERA?
Yeah, he's been really good.
1.02?
Yeah, he's been really good.
He's given up one homer all year.
How many starts?
In 8 starts.
Yeah, he's been really good.
He's given up one homer. All right, I'll say under after all of that. Tonight's the night. Red Sox, get him. You're saying over?
Yeah.
And finally, PCA. This is another guy. You dismissed him as, you know, just who's that?
This was a really stupid thing
This is
really stupid.
PCA has been...
Pete Crow or Armstrong, who doesn't
unbelievable.
Know, he really has.
There isn't a game that goes by that he doesn't get 3 home runs and 10 RBIs.
Can I tell everyone why I said that? It's because Wandy Peralta gives up one home run, and everybody's acting like he was Babe Ruth, and then he became Babe Ruth.
Pete Crow Armstrong might be the MVP of the National League
now. It's crazy.
He might be ahead of Fernando and Alonso.
It's one of those things I should have just kept my mouth shut.
1.5 total bases tonight for him. I mean, it's either 2 singles or a double or more.
A homer.
Yeah. What do you got? Over, under?
I got to go over.
He's been hot. All right. I say he's got to have one cool, but it's at the Marlins. The Marlins aren't going to get anybody out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say under anyway.
Oh.
I mean, 2 hits is hard to bet for. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, look, I think everybody out there knows how I feel about Juan Soto.
You love him.
And Tony's not here to defend him, which is unfair. But too bad. Because Juan Soto is doing exactly what I knew he would do in New York. And we'll talk about it when we come back after traffic on Gwen and Chris.
Traffic will be at the end.
Okay.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 3:19 is the time. This hour, at 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by our friends at Staples. You know your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. All right now at Staples, save up to $250. Wow. Off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. All of this ends on June 14th, so get it done. Plus, save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. We have mentioned that the Baltimore Orioles fired their manager.
All right, same thing I always say. What was the reason to start the season?
What do you mean?
If you're just going to fire.
Expecting to be 15-28. They were expecting to be 28-15.
This has been the most overrated team in baseball the last 3 seasons.
Disagree.
They didn't win a playoff game.
They didn't do that, but both seasons they were either division champs or right close to it.
But if we say, hey,
I don't think
Orioles
that's the most
fans,
disappointing thing in baseball.
You came in second in the AL East, but you didn't win a playoff game.
Okay. They're easily the most disappointing this year. That I will give you. Here's something that I don't find to be surprising at all. As a matter of fact, I think I could have written this story before the season started and just filed it away in a drawer somewhere and then had it ready to pull out by about mid-May, which is where we are now. Because the Mets apparently are a little bit tired of Juan Soto's act already. A couple of different things to discuss. Last night, the game is, and this is so Soto, I can't even tell you. The game is 2-2 with the Yankees. They end up losing this game, I think, 6-2. Bellinger had a grand slam or something, 8-2. But it was 2-2 when he batted in the eighth inning. He hits a hard ground ball up the middle. And you can see him kind of easing his way out of the batter's box because I think he thought he had a base hit. Only DJ LeMahieu makes a beautiful dive, backhand, knocks the ball down. As soon as Soto sees that, you can see him slow up even more as if to say, whoops. Oh, man, this guy got it.
Can't get there.
I can't get there now. And when he got about halfway up the line, you can see him speed up. But now he's easily thrown out.
Yeah.
And this is in a 2-2 tie. If he busted out of the box, he's very likely safe. This was a hell of a play by DJ LeMahieu, but it only becomes a great play because Juan Soto was dogging it the way Juan Soto does. But that's not the worst part. Apparently, why don't you read the rest of it? I'll let you go because you told me about it earlier.
Oh, sorry.
I'll do it then.
I have it right here. Oh, no, you got it right there? Go for it.
Yeah, I have it. I just thought you had it. Soto last night was supposed to be mic'd up by ESPN in the second inning. He changed his mind minutes before the game. I'm even going to give him this one. I think that mic'd up during the game is kind of annoying. And it's always Soto. It's always Fernando. I get it why these guys are like, I've had it. I've done it. I've been there, done that. And as Soto explained later, he's tired of answering why did he go to the Mets and, you know, how he's, you know, enjoy, you know, how hard it is to return to the Bronx. It's old. He's been answering it all weekend. So that I didn't mind. But this I do, although I'm not surprised. After the game, Juan Soto was doing an interview with a pool of reporters down in the locker room. He walked toward the door. The reporter said, where are you going? He said, hang on. Or he told a Mets official to tell the group that he'd be back momentarily. He was going out to see family members. He never came back. I don't care if you're Juan Soto, and I don't care if you're the 19th clubhouse guy. That's just flat-out rude.
You tell people you're coming
back? Just flat-out rude.
Come back.
But it's also rude to keep 25 people waiting for 10, 15 minutes on a semi-daily basis while you're late for the bus, which we heard from people was pretty consistent when he was here.
Yeah.
It tells me what kind of person you are if you don't care what other people might be thinking. There's also a lot of talk that he's been taking private jets away from his teammates to games. That's been refuted.
Doused by Jeff Passan.
It's been doused. The point is somebody's even bringing it up.
Yeah.
And with Juan Soto, you would almost believe it. He is a diva. Is that bad? Not always. Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, every right, Mariah Carey. I don't know how many more I can name. Yeah. Kardashian, you know, whatever.
Barry Manilow.
Okay. Barry Manilow. They're all divas. They all think they're great.
Chris's favorite diva.
Yeah, right. They all think they're great. They all think they're better than the rest of us. That's why they're called divas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay that you're a diva. But I think the Mets are starting to realize maybe this isn't everything that they thought it was going to be. They should have. All they had to do was call me. I would have told them.
Usually, when you spend $700 million on some sort of asset for your business, you kind of do your research on that asset. Like, this, to me, is exactly what the Mets deserve. For just breaking the bank and giving $70 million a year to a guy who, from people within the Mets, now say that they're not happy with his excitement level over playing for the Mets.
Yes, the quote in the paper, in the story, is Mets front office people saying, quote, they're concerned with Soto's lack of enthusiasm. They said the only time he seemed sparked up at all this weekend was when Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone walked by.
Yeah.
And he had a conversation with those guys, his former teammate and manager.
You know what I say to Juan Soto? Get over it.
He's never going to. This is what he is. This is what he is, and it's okay. It's not for me.
It's not for me
like,
either.
I don't care for it. And that's why you ask, if you did, why didn't Chris like Juan Soto in San Diego? I didn't dislike him because of production. I know a lot of you thought he should have hit a home run every time up. But he produced.
He wasn't amazing.
He cut, but
he was not Juan Soto that we were sold.
He wasn't Juan Soto-esque.
Yes.
But it's his attitude that I can't deal with, and I never will like it. Welcome to it, New York Mets.
I'm not trying to just dump out all the dirty.
You got another minute? Go ahead.
Baggage,
throw it out there.
I mean, we asked for Juan Soto to come on the show for Friar Friday the entire season.
That wasn't
and we
going
never
to happen.
Got a sniff at Juan Soto. And then one time, I was in the clubhouse trying to get some audio from Xander Bogaerts. And yeah, sure, I was standing a little bit in front of Juan Soto's locker. But he sat down in his little lazy boy chair and he ran into me like that, like to get me to move. It wasn't, hey, you're in my locker, can you move? I know this is a very personal thing to me, but I still hold this in my heart because he hit me not once with the chair. He hit me twice with the chair, Chris. Because I was in the vicinity of his locker. That's all I got on that.
Right.
But no, it's something that I think people... I don't think you can get away with this stuff anymore and not have people look sideways at you. Meaning, I don't think you can just be a diva and play sports anymore. Because there are so many people out there that are able to separate sports stars from, you know, real life. All of us in the real life face a lot more difficult things on a day-to-day basis than Juan Soto not wanting to do media.
Eight home runs, 20 RBIs, five steals, 246. That's what the Mets have got so far. They also are in first place. So, no, there's that.
Yeah, a guy like Juan Soto takes away from everybody else on the team because when the media goes in there, now they're going to go ask every single player about these articles, about if he takes private planes, if he's angry, if he doesn't want to be there. When you bring in a player like that, you bring in the orbit that comes with it, and all of this comes with it.
It can work to me if the person's a decent human being. I don't find Juan Soto to be that. We'll take a break. Bottom of the hour. When we come back,
that's all we'll say.
Scott Miller joins us from the New York Times, and you know what a great baseball writer is. He's got a new book out about managing in the big leagues. Bruce Bochy is featured, as are many others, and Scott's going to join us to talk some baseball and about a book that you should have when we come back on Gwynn and Chris. 2023, Juan Soto had a 930 OPS. Mm. He was sixth in the MVP balloting. Mm. 35 homers, 109 RBIs. Mm. But according to Matt Scraby, he stunk. Would you like to change your opinion on that, sir?
I will change it to this. He had a very, very, very good season in a year where the Padres didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, you can change it to that. And I would tell you that there was a lot of unsaid stuff about that 2023 team as to why it didn't get where they thought it could go.
Yeah.
And we'll never know what that stuff was exactly. But I will guess, and I think it's a rather intelligent guess, that Juan Soto and his diva ways were at the heart of a lot of it.
Now,
I'm not blaming him. I'm saying that he was probably part of it. You have to be a certain way to accept a person who acts the way Juan Soto does. And I don't think everybody can handle it.
Now here's
nor should they have to.
No, but here's something that
like
I
with
have...
the Yank. Sorry, with the Yankees, it almost feels like you should be a diva. Like that just seems like a diva team.
Even though Aaron Judge doesn't seem
like a
diva.
He isn't. But I think for some reason the Yankees, it seems, that's kind of the way we expect it. Not here, we didn't.
Some people are connecting. Now, Jackson Merrill obviously did not play in 2023. But some people are connecting this quote from his contract extension press conference as a dig at Juan Soto.
Many
here
did.
It is.
Many did.
And I know like there's contracts out there that are beyond absurd. They're super amounts of money. But having a relationship with a real human being and a real team like I have here, you can't just sign for $700 million and want everything to be perfect, you know?
I mean, he names the number.
Yeah.
The only thing
well,
I
there's
think
only
about...
one $700 million contract he could be referring to.
Well,
is
there's
there?
Two.
Oh.
Otani and then...
Oh.
But I can't see... They didn't even play together. I cannot see Juan Soto or Jackson Merrill taking a shot at Juan Soto.
I don't think he was
although
taking...
Although he did say $700 million.
I don't think he was taking a shot at anybody. I just think he was trying to make a point, honestly. He was making a point.
And it's a good point.
Because there's a lot of people that criticize Jackson Merrill for not taking enough money
that
when he signed
true.
Here. So he was just saying, hey, it wasn't important to me.
That is true.
So I don't think he was trying to take a dig at anybody. I think that people would, are just making something up that's probably not there. All right, Scott Miller, coming up.
I'm giving
traffic.
You a bunch of hand
yeah,
signals.
I think I have it. Let's try some traffic.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Scott Miller will be joining us shortly. We'll track him down in a minute. His book is called Skipper. It's about the obviously the baseball manager. Looking forward to chatting with him about it. Can't wait to read it because Scott is one of my all-time favorite writers. As a matter of fact, we worked together back in the day at the LA Times, and he went on to be a writer because he was good at it. I went on to do something that did not include writing anymore.
Hey, by the way.
Because I wasn't as good at
it. Hey, by the way. It's not easy to get to where you are either, Chris.
Didn't say. I just said if I was really good at what I wanted to be good at, I'd still be writing like Scott Miller is. That's all I'm saying. All right. What happened? Oh, sorry. He's there? We're having trouble with all of our hand signals.
No.
What do you got?
Our number calls out sometimes, and apparently
okay.
lately... Well, good thing, yes, our number calls out.
Right.
Apparently lately, phones are picking it up as spam. So
yeah.
That's a problem.
And Scott Miller, correctly, did not want to answer that.
Exactly. So here he is.
Hello, Scott Miller. Always great to talk with you.
Hey, nice to be with you
and
guys.
I'm so...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was on the other line, and your call came in. It was from an 833 number, and what it said was scam likely.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, there's no reason to. I know you guys are going to call any minute, but I didn't think that was you. And
I don't think that the spam refers to the phone number. I think it refers to the person who dialed the phone.
Oh, so you're saying it's me. I'm scamming him.
You're the spam. You're the spam.
I see.
Hey, Scott, I got to tell you, I am, I'm very proud of you to begin with because you're, you become such a great writer and big part of the game, baseball. But to have a book out. And have it, being published and it's out there and people are saying all these nice things about it. I must tell you, on my bucket list many moons ago was to write a book. Doesn't look like I'm going to get there, at least not at this moment, but you've got there. Congrats on the book coming out and tell us a little bit about it and where the idea was sprung from, and et cetera.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And it's called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will, and it's all about managing, and it's available now. It came out last Tuesday, May 13th, and it ought to be in your local Barnes & Noble or wherever you like to buy books, or online. You can find it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or Target.com, all the big websites, and it's really been cool just in the few days it's been out to have it out there, because you're right. I mean, some of the early reviews, you know, you work on a project for 2.5-3 years, and then finally it goes out, and you're like, oh my gosh, I hope people like it.
Yeah.
Some of the early reviews have been like so nice, like better than I could have ever expected. And, you know, so that's great. And, yeah. So I'm trying to think. You asked me about where the idea came
from. Well, yeah, give me the genesis of this book.
Well, you know, I learned what in the book world, like the quote unquote, the next project. I learned what that phrase is because, you know, as you guys know, I co-wrote a book with Bob Tewksbury on mental skills in baseball, and that was way back in 2018. So after that, you know, I just went back to my day job for about a year. And after, you know, but after that, you know, my literary agent would check in and he'd pitch me a couple book ideas every now and then. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I pitched him a couple ideas back. He wasn't overly hot on a couple of them in terms of whether he could sell it to publishers or sell, you know, or it would sell. And so it took a couple of years of kicking things around. But during that time, you know, as you know, you guys talk about it. We talk about it, you know, it's talked about in the media. It's talked about by fans. It's talked about in the industry. And that is, you know, since analytics came into the game, especially over the last 10 years or so.
Right. Who needs a manager anymore?
Exactly. I mean, how many conversations have you been in like that? And I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, a couple years in a row, you watch, you know, Brian Snitker, a good old school manager, lead Atlanta to the World Series. You see Bochy win his fourth. You see Dusty Baker, you know, even Dave Roberts, you know, last year. And you think, you know, there's a reason some of these guys win. And anyway, so the book kind of germinated from all these conversations we've been having. And, you know, so I finally, you know, we locked it in about, I don't know, 2.5-3 years ago, you know, and I signed a contract and went right to work and probably interviewed 200 or more people, you know, managers, ex-managers, players, ex-players, executives, ex-executives. And, you know, the gist of it starts in the late 70s. Kind of, Chris, covers you and me, kind of our baseball life.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah.
Starts in the late 70s. You know, look at managers back then, Earl Weaver, Sparky Anderson, Tom Kelly. I talked to him for a long time. You know, Billy Martin. When managers just, their word was it. They had
right.
all the authority.
Yeah.
So it starts then, and it carries forward over the next 50 years to now. And we go through the Moneyball era. You know, I talked to Billy Beane, and he was really good and really interesting about, you know, looking back at the Moneyball era from today's vantage point and some of the good it caused and some of maybe he would have done this or that differently. Yeah, you know, I talked to Art Howe and some of the managers during that Moneyball era about, you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere, they're getting like blindsided by all these numbers. And all of a sudden the job changed rapidly on them, you know, and then it keeps going up to, you know, present day where all of a sudden you don't even need to have any experience to manage. I mean, who would have ever thought the Yankees would have hired a manager, Aaron Boone, straight from the ESPN booth, who's never managed before. So the gist of it, that's kind of the arc of the book. And it looks basically at what was the job of manager like back then? What is it like today? How did we get from then to now? And why did we get from then to now?
Love it. Love it. Scott Miller's with us. Scrape, you got anything over there?
Yeah, I just want to ask you about, since you were able to talk to different managers throughout different decades, like why did it become the sport where managers no longer, it's not whatever they say goes? When did they have to start adjusting to the major leaguer that we have today where maybe communication is the best way to get to them? Because, you know, sometimes it is Earl Weaver just saying, you go out there right now. That works, but that doesn't work anymore. When do you think that kind of dynamic shifted?
You know, it was probably in the early 2000s, maybe a little bit after that, I'm going to say. You know, because it's not only, you know, it's not like this is a diatribe against analytics and, oh, the job of manager is because analytics blew into the game. There are also so many other forces at work. And, Matt, you bring up a good point. It's not, you know, not just analytics, but, you know, there's been generational change, right? I mean, kids today are different than they were a generation ago, and they were different than they were when we were kids. And their parents have raised their kids differently. And you know, Bruce Bochy, you know, I spent a long time with him for the book. And, you know, I asked him because he kind of covers both, right? When he first started, the manager had all the power. Now it isn't so much. And, you know, he said that, you know, that is the biggest change, Matt, exactly what you just said right there. He said, you know, when I first started, it used to be you told the player what to do, and that was good enough. And now you don't tell the player what to do.
You better back
you,
it up.
You give him an explanation and tell him why, whether it's for his own good, something the team thinks is going to help him or something that's going to help the team. But I also think playing within all of this, aside from the generational change, as you guys know, travel ball became such a big thing, I don't know, around 2000 or whatever year it was. But, you know, so now these players are coming up to the majors today. You know, they all play travel ball, for example. So during that time, they've all got individualized, specialized coaches.
Yeah, right.
And then a lot of them go to special tutors, you know, whatever it is, like Driveline up in Seattle, these baseball academies. So they've got so many ideas in their head by the time they get to the major leagues that's also part of why you need an explanation today.
Yeah.
Talking to Scott Miller here on 97.3 The Fan. Just a quick follow-up to that, because we saw a situation recently in Boston with Rafael Devers in how he has said that he does not want to play first base. And it kind of put the manager, the GM, the player at odds. How do you think they handled that situation after having talked to all of these different managers?
Well, it's still a work in progress. I don't think they've handled it well from the beginning. I think a lot of it's the front office, because they've said some things about, well, he's not going to play third base. Then you ask him to play third base. Or you can't make any declarative statements in spring training. You know, you need to sit down with the kid and talk to him and list a bunch of options and say, we might need this, we might need this, we really need you on board. But, you know, that's also a good example of how the job of a manager has changed, because, you know, the one power the manager has always had over a player is playing time.
Yeah, right. And got the lineup card.
That's right. And you know what? You want to act this way, I'm not going to play you tonight. Now, the problem is, and this is where another reason managing has changed, obviously the economics in the game, right, and these contracts. So Devers is what? He's on like a $313 million contract.
Yeah, it's massive.
So what do you think happens if Alex Cora tried to play it like maybe Earl Weaver would back in 1979, and he tells Devers, you know what, you're not in the lineup tonight, and you're out of the lineup for future notice until you become a better teammate.
Yeah.
How do you think that would go at $313 million?
Honestly, wouldn't Rafael Devers just be like, fine, you guys still have to pay me?
I don't know what he would do.
Well, he would be, but it's not just that. What there'd be, the front office would be down in Alex Cora's office in a second. That's where part of the manager's power has been taken away, because there's no way the front office is with Boston is going to entrust Alex Cora or allow him to make a unilateral decision like that.
Right.
Because the front office is going to be like, we've got all this money invested in this guy. You know, we've got season ticket holders, we've got suite holders, we've got all these people that want to see him play. We need every dollar we can get because of that contract. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Devers, you never know how players can react. He may just pout and say, fine, I'll take a vacation. But it would never happen today because of what I just said. The front office would never allow that to happen.
Scott Miller, the book is called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter. I think everybody here is going to want to see it, because there's a lot of Bochy and a lot of those guys, Bud Black, all these guys that we've come to know. Real quick, we still got 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Speaking of skippers, Pete Rose, I got to get your thoughts, Scott, as somebody who's followed baseball as long and as, you know, much as you have. I think you think he should be in the Hall of Fame if everything was equal, but maybe I'm wrong. But what do you think is going to happen here over the next 2 or 3 years? Is he going to get in? Are they going to not let him in? Is there going to be more fighting about it? What do you think is going to happen?
I think you're right. All things being equal, meaning he never bet on baseball. Obviously, Pete Rose should have been in the Hall of Fame, and you know, he's a slam dunk. But the fact that he broke the biggest rule in baseball, and everybody knew it, I think, first of all, it was a weak decision by Commissioner Manfred.
Huh.
I mean, look, I got to know Pete Rose some. I've talked to him a number of times. I really enjoyed talking to him every time we talked.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He was a great guy to talk to.
Right. But the fact remains what he did, and then he lied about it for 15 years saying, right, I never bet on baseball. He made his situation worse, in other words, is what he did. And I think that, I mean, he just died, what, in September, October, September, I think. And, I mean, body's barely cold. I don't know what the rush is to do this. But all of that,
it just hit me too. It just hit me too.
And if we're going to change the rules and say a permanent ineligible lifetime suspension ends upon a guy's death, well, I got Shoeless Joe Jackson on the phone for you guys that wants to talk about, well, that's the rule. Why didn't somebody, right, you know, 80 years ago deal with me? So, you know, I also think, you know, I spent a lot of years not voting for steroid guys, and I'm a little frustrated because I think the Pete Rose decision lowers the standards in the game. So much of that's going on anyway. And so it's like, you're going to let him, well, that was worse than doing steroids. So, you know, now there's a part of me that wishes, well, if I knew all this was going to happen, that maybe I should have voted for steroid guys. But that said, to your last part of your question, you know, I think he'll be up in 2027, and he's long since passed the writer's ballot. We're not going to have a chance to vote for him, but he'll be on the Veterans Committee ballot. Now, that's going to be tough. I do not think he's a slam dunk.
Okay.
Because the Veterans Committee is made up of 16 voters, 12 are Hall of Famers, 4 are veteran media members. Hmm. And I'll tell you something, you got to get 12 out of 16 votes, and that is not easy in that room. And the Hall of Famers, I'm sure there'll be some that, you know, would like to see Pete in, but a lot of those guys are territorial.
Yeah, they don't want them.
You know, they don't want the steroid guys in. They don't want the scoundrels or the cheaters in. So I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. But I'm not convinced that he's going to get in right away. It may take a while.
I got to say one last thing. Scott Miller, you're our fave, and thanks for doing this. While we were doing the interview, this is how savvy I now am on the computer, Scrabe.
What?
I ordered his book, and it's on his way. Oh,
wow.
And I'm getting it delivered tomorrow.
Well, tell everybody where you bought it.
Amazon. I just went on, click, click, click. It's already on. It'll be here tomorrow.
Scott, what's the easiest way to get the book? Is it Amazon?
It's got to be that way, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, unless, you know, some people are bookstore denizens, and they love going into their local bookstore.
It is,
and,
yeah.
You know,
I just ordered
that,
it, man. I can't wait. Tomorrow, I'm going to get it.
Cause no, that's...
So I'm going on a little...
You want to hear like Chris says, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going on a little trip. Wednesday for a couple days, so I wanted to have it along.
Awesome.
For the ride. So
that's very
look forward
very
to it, Scott.
Nice, and thank you.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Sounds good.
Scott Miller, right there. The book is Skipper, and if I can order it on Amazon while we're interviewing him, anybody can do it.
I'm impressed.
True, right?
And you know what?
I'm
going to reveal to everyone
what?
Something that Chris has done in the last week.
Hmm.
That will put you in a really good light. You are now using Google Docs.
I am.
He is using Google Docs.
Showed me
everyone.
How to use it. Now I'm using it.
Simple. It is.
That's the way it goes. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean cuisine, Coronado, La Jolla, dining, takeout options. Spiro'sCuisine.com, the Chris versus the fans. Coming up next, chance to go to Vegas. 833-288-0973.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.